You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, October 20th, 2019, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'" And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So I want to invite us into a thought experiment. I'm going to say a word, and you're going to immediately be aware of the first word that springs to your mind in response. For example, if I said "see," you're going to say "hawks," right? Come on, you know what to say. And if we were back in my old hometown in New Orleans, if I said "saints," you're going to say "who dat?" That's two words, but you know, that doesn't really count, okay? All right, good. Somebody got it. So I really want to invite you to do that. Not a phrase or a sentence, one word. Don't add it yourself. There's no right or wrong answer, just one word. Okay, here's the word. Feel free to say it out loud or just hold it in your head. Stewardship. Help. Steve Best says help. No, it's money. If the first word that came to your mind and crossed your screen was money, well, you're not alone. That's what many of us think about as soon as we hear the word stewardship. Particularly in the church context, we think about money. And particularly at this time of the year, the time when many churches, including St. Thomas, have their fall fundraising campaign, which is referred to as the stewardship campaign. Now, let me be real clear. This time of focused fundraising is really important to our lives here. I mean, your pledge, my pledge, allows the vestry and the staff to be responsible managers, which means responsible stewards. And I'll say more about that in a minute. Responsible stewards of the resources that you've entrusted to us. Yeah, there are bills to pay. I mean, we need to maintain this beautiful place, and we're eagerly awaiting our return to our church home over here. It's going to be beautiful. And we're hoping to add a new communication specialist to the staff to facilitate the transparent flow of information, which all of us want. And we want to continue to support and grow this amazing music program that Doug Cleveland and Jackie Sullivan are leading. God, choristers, we are so happy to see you this morning. You guys are amazing, right? We need to support this and continue to grow it. And we want to continue to support and grow our outreach ministries, both here inside the walls and outside our walls. We want to continue reaching out to the whole world. And you've called what I believe is a truly remarkable staff to serve the Lord Jesus and to serve you and to serve this community. They're committed to Christ and to you. That's for darn sure. But you know what? They haven't had a cost of living adjustment in 3 years. That's not right. We need to fix that. So yeah, fundraising is important for all of us. But I'm here to tell you this morning that fundraising is not primarily what stewardship is about. Stewardship's about a whole lot more. Now, to illustrate what I'm talking about, I'm going to share a story that Jesus told his friends in Mark's gospel. Listen. Jesus said, "Watch out for the religion scholars. They love to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in prominent positions, sitting at the head of the table at every church function. And all the time, they're exploiting the weak and the helpless. The longer the prayers, the worse they get." That's why mine are real short. "But they'll pay for it in the end." Sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in 2 small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." She gave her all. That's right. No getting around it. Not a percentage. Not a tithe. She gave everything. She gave her whole life. And that's what we hear Jesus holding up to his disciples this morning as an example. It seems this widow's 2 measly cents were worth more than the big money that others were putting into the temple treasury, because they weren't putting in everything, and she was. I can't begin to imagine how many thousands of stewardship sermons have been preached on this text. I mean, you've heard them, and I'll bet more than once. Hey, I've preached them. But you know what? Most of those stewardship sermons, including the ones I've preached on this text, miss the point. As soon as we try to analogize the widow's giving all that she had to the temple with our own giving to the church, we've missed the point. Because inevitably we're going to say something like, "Well, if she gave everything, I guess I can dig down a little deeper and give just a little more." And so the widow gets used simply as an example of faithful giving. An example, by the way, we'll never live up to. And so it becomes easy to ignore what's really going on here. If we think of stewardship as being primarily about giving our money, whether to the church or to some other worthy organization or many organizations, our schools, our colleges, all the great organizations that need our support, our focus is too narrow. In fact, we fundamentally misunderstand who we are and what God's calling us to be. Because a steward is not an owner. A steward is a manager. That's the literal meaning of steward, to be a manager. And a manager acts on behalf of an owner. And the owner, of course, is God. God, from whom all blessings flow. The owner of all that is, was, or is to come isn't me. The resources of my household aren't mine in any permanent sense. They're just passing through. Now, I'm 67, and that's hard for me to believe since I was 35 just last month. But as I continue on this inexorable journey through life to the closing hymn, if you know what I mean, I realize more and more the truth that I don't own anything in any permanent sense. I'm going to leave the stage the same way I entered, and so will you. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's all passing away, as the Apostle Paul says. Now, every year, including this year, when Zani and I sit down to complete our pledge card, we wind up talking about our priorities. You know, we occasionally spring a couple small leaks in our little household boat. And so these conversations about priorities help us to be better managers of our whole lives. I mean, I want to be a better manager of me. I want to be a better steward of me. And so the question, how much should we give to St. Thomas this year? I mean, that's really the wrong question. That's a question an owner would ask. Not a steward. I mean, imagine this. You walk into the office of a financial advisor, and you ask the financial advisor to manage your funds. Now, wouldn't you be surprised if that financial manager said, you know, I'll manage 20% or 5% or 10% of this money you're handing me. I'll do that for you, and I'm going to keep the rest of it for myself. You'd be out of that office pretty fast, wouldn't you? No, you would expect your advisor to manage all of your resources in your interest, right? And it's the same with God. I didn't hear Jesus say, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and with 2% of your income. No, that's an owner's way of looking at things. An owner chooses to give or not. That's not a choice a steward has. In fact, I go so far as to say that this is the ultimate question in our lives. How have we managed this gift from God? And what's that gift? That gift is our very lives. Have we done it well or have we done it poorly? What kind of steward of my life am I? You know, it's an accounting I have to give every day. And I really do believe that one day it's an accounting that I'll make to the real owner of my life. The one who I'm called to love with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. Now, I don't dread that accounting because I know that the owner of my life is both just and merciful. But I'm going to tell you what, I sure do want to get it right. And that's where this story of the widow's 2 cents comes in. You know, the widow offered all that she had and all that she was. 100%. We're called to manage all of our assets in the interest of God, our spiritual assets, our emotional assets, our physical, intellectual, professional, and yes, our financial interests on behalf of God, 100%. And you know, it's way beyond the annual 6-week begathon in the fall that we're in the midst of right now. It's about growing and strengthening this life-giving and life-changing community right here at St. Thomas that we're all blessed to be a part of. You know, we're not isolated individuals living in our own little cabins, rationing ourselves and our resources. We're a Christian community. We're a group of people bound together with a common vision of living in the joyful hope of the resurrection. And that resurrected life in Christ is best experienced here and now in this community. Don't you want to be a good steward of your whole life? All the time? Don't you want to be a faithful manager of everything that God's blessed you with? And I'm talking about life and love and family and friends and community and all of creation. It's really life-changing. It's transformative. Engagement, commitment, gratitude, care for creation. These are the marks of our adventure in stewardship. Imagine that Jesus has just told you the story of the widow who put in all that she had. And now he turns to you and says, what will you put in? And he turns to me and says, what will I put in? If my answer isn't everything, well, I got some work to do on loving and serving with all of my heart, mind, and strength. Being a faithful manager, being a committed manager of the gifts of life and love. Living that out in this community of followers of Jesus. And one tangible, concrete sign of your commitment to be a faithful manager is your pledge card, your commitment card. It's a sign of my commitment and your commitment to being a follower of Jesus. And that's why it's really important to you to complete this card. If you haven't picked up your card yet, it's over here waiting for you. Please come and take a look after we finish worship this morning and take your card home with you and then sit with it. Sit with it prayerfully and say to yourself, what am I being called to do? What kind of commitment am I being called to make? Not just financial. I mean, in some ways, that's the least important. What kind of commitment am I being called to make with my whole life? It's a sign of your commitment to follow Jesus. One day, we're all going to be called to make an accounting. In fact, we're really called to make an accounting every day. And I truly believe this accounting isn't all about numbers. It's about commitment. It's about faith. It's about surrender. Have I used the ultimate resource, which is my very life, that's been entrusted to me? Have I used it purposefully in love and in service? Or have I used it selfishly to gratify my own ego and my own desires? I mean, believe me, I struggle with that answer every day. And sometimes the answer I have to give myself isn't a good one. But I struggle with it every day. Some days I do better than others. But I do believe it's the struggle that counts. I believe it's the intention that counts. It's the commitment that counts. It's the pledge of my whole life to the owner of my life. 100%. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.